On Friday, I found Omsom Instagram account and followed it. A thought went through my head. Wow, she's cool. I'd like to meet her one day. Saturday, I see a familiar scenery on Monta's stories. And without even thinking, I type, are you in Prague? Sunday, in my message box, I find a response. Yes, are you too? I say, yes, I'm living here, to what I get a response. Let's meet for a coffee. Say what? And I respond, let's meet for a podcast. And there we were, Monday morning, hotel room, the two of us, and a mic. This is a Non-Cool People podcast. And this is part one of a really cool conversation with Monta Williamson, a self-confidence guide, manifestation teacher, a book author, an online business owner, and a podcaster herself. Talking to Monta felt like having an old friend in my kitchen and diving into memories of all good times. She takes us to a journey across the world, but most importantly, through her inner transformation and discoveries. We talk about spirituality, what does it take to write a book, and how the heck did she get a review from Bob Proctor? And by the way, I love the title of it, Becoming a Human Again. Enjoy, cool listener. How would you introduce yourself to someone who have never heard about you? And what are the things you want people to know about you?
Oh, well, should have prepared for this one. So, I'm Monta. I'm 30-something years old. I don't remember. After 30s, I don't remember. I've traveled the world and learned about myself for the past, now it's been like 15 years. And past 2 years, I've been actually more at home in Latvia and not sharing so much about the outer journey and the world, but the inner journey and self-development. Also creating this platform for others, because before that I was just doing for myself, sharing some quotes there and now. But now I got my courage together to say that I can teach actually someone something or transform their lives through some different practices, such as meditation or breath work, sometimes conversations. To be honest, conversations are really, really healing. And I also run my own podcast as well. So
yes, your podcast actually was one of the things that got my attention, especially because you have a lot of solo episodes. And in those solo episodes, you share your experience, but also I really like your approach of this is me, this is how it works for me, but I'm sure you can also take something for you. In every episode that I have heard, I took something for myself. And I think also your online courses that you are creating now to share your knowledge, to help other people to become their better versions, I think it's admirable. And I would like to ask you, I would like to get to know a little bit more, how did you get to that courage to say, okay, I'm smart enough, I'm self-confident enough to go online and create my own business and teach others. Because for me, it's like, what can I teach others? I mean, yes, I've learned some things and I've been places, but there are so many people doing that already. So how did you get to this point?
Well, through the things you already mentioned, because I was on my self-development journey for many, many years. And I was like, I want to share this knowledge. And you know that like the fire inside, like, I want to share. And then you're like, the fire is there and there is this like cell you're in and you're like, no, like, am I good enough? There are so many people. I think for me, the strongest thing was like, what if something that I share is not true in a couple of years, which you very often, I think you will relate as well in self-development. You're so passionate about one practice for some time. And then after the while, you're like, actually, there's something better, or actually, there's something like other thing that transforms you more. And I'm like, what if I go and just tell everyone about this? And then, you know, not next week, but maybe next year, I'm like, nah, there's something better. Like, if you teach something, you should be like that forever. And it drove me in a depression, quite literally. I was so like, I want it, but I didn't allow. I want it, I didn't allow. And I was thinking all the, you know, like all the ways how I could do that without, you know, dealing with these problems that I faced of mm-hmm. like, what if I, like, I'm not good enough, or that if I change my mind. And afterwards, you know, when you go through that dark episode, things change. You're grateful that you wake up, and then you start sharing just because it makes you like worth living. And you're like, okay, I'll share with one person, another, third, fourth. And when I came back to Latvia, COVID started, and many people were just looking for some sort of not even like spiritual but mental relief and support. Mm-hmm. And it was because people asked, they're like, oh, can you teach meditation online? Because we couldn't meet live. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, they ask, I'll provide. You know, if they ask, I provide, and then I can blame them.
You asked for it.
Yeah, you asked for that. Like, you trusted me, you asked. So, and then, you know, step by step, you understand that. And also at that point, when I was teaching my meditation, it wasn't that you were mentioning about solo episodes. You should have a look how many I have before with people, because I didn't have a courage. What am I going to, like, just share? Just me. I thought I could do a podcast, but only if I have a guest. You know, and then I was like, okay, that's my biggest fear. There's this. I'm like, let's work on that. And I do like, once I realize that fear, I like to just dive into that and do totally maybe opposite and do something that you're like, this is so scary. Mm-hmm. But it takes some time to proceed to that point where you're like, okay, I'm fed up with myself, not allowing myself to live like I want. And I'm just going to do it. And fuck it, let's do it.
Just you like know? Facing that fear to get rid of.
Yeah. It. Yeah, yeah, facing the fear of like going and doing the action, not thinking about it. Because mm-hmm. what I did before, basically, I think for a good 3 years, I was thinking, what could I make? What is there? You know, like what online course? What could I offer? And you're like pondering, but you're thinking. You're not actually doing anything. Mm-hmm. You're just thinking about it, and you're thinking about your fears and your excuses and all that. So later on, when I didn't get a courage, I got fed up with myself.
Yeah, I had very similar feelings that I was just a little bit different because I was in this maternity, young child of 1.5 years. And I was like, who am I? Mm-hmm. I'm here with the child. And I just can't figure it out. And I was thinking about podcast for some time already.
Yeah.
A good few years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to some retreats and some online courses. And I said, okay, just fuck my perfectionism. And I just start mm-hmm. for myself.
Yeah,
because when yes. we kind of have this selfish reasons, I think, to do something, to share, you also later understand you want to help others. And mm-hmm. I kind of develop in this way. So when we want to help others,
yeah.
we helping ourselves.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Of course, like the main reason was like, I want to share because if that helped me, that will help others. But then you think you ponder on that for many years. Like, it's true fact.
So yeah. 15 years, like 12 years you've lived abroad.
Mm-hmm.
Then you came to Latvia in the most ridiculous time
yeah.
in the world.
Wow. And, perfect one.
And from someone who was traveling, I don't know how many countries per year, then suddenly you have to stop and be in...
In your little hometown of 12,000 people.
And not in a really nice season of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So what was the most challenging thing for you during this period?
So I'll just recap a little bit before going back home. I went for a holiday. You
home.
Know, like,
yeah.
home, yeah. I went home for a holiday, not just like I was thinking maybe a month, you know, top. But I was before that planning on moving to Shanghai. Because, you know, that's challenging, that's bubbling, that's a big city, all these opportunities and everything. And I went back home and it's like 12,000 people. And but I remember someone asked me the question at that time, like, what is more challenging for you, to leave and like go somewhere else or to stay? And I was like, to stay, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to stay. And it's like, okay, maybe this is the learning lesson for me, you know, and then just like, okay, now I'm here. I'll stay here. And because I felt in like with a feeling it was the right choice,
mm-hmm.
but not with the mind where it's like, wow, like I've been like everywhere, why would I be here? But then the feeling was like, no, this is a good time to be here. And it's scary. It was super, super scary.
I like how you see opportunity in all those things.
Mm.
Like, okay, what can it teach me? And I think with this kind of approach, you are really more open to new things and maybe try new things.
Mm.
So out of those more than 50 countries you've been to, if today somebody tells you, you can choose just one that you've been to go there again, one more time, mm-hmm. what country would you go to?
Probably India. But I would experience in a totally different way because when I first went there was a beginning point of a deeper meditation journey. I had meditated a little bit before and I went there and I went deep, and I think now I could enjoy maybe other things because I was just there in my spiritual cloud session, you know, like I didn't care too much about maybe places or what other things India is offering. Mm-hmm. I was purely interested in that, the spiritual journey. So I've definitely go back because it's a huge country and there's a lot to see as well and a lot to experience and a lot of spirituality. I like how it's intertwined in a daily life. It's, you know, there's a shrine, like I was telling someone recently, I was always walking with the red dot here from the, and then it's like, why? It's like, because you go to temples on and off, like, and they always do this to the red dot on your forehead, and like, why not? And I did enjoy that, and you know, so yeah,
I really like how you described your trip to India in your one of your episodes, and it's also in English if somebody wants to listen to that, because you talked about it so positively, and I kind of thought that you would choose in India from what you've shared there. We have this misconception of this country that it's dangerous, that it's especially for a woman, blonde, tall, beautiful, different, it's very dangerous. But you explain how if you protect yourself and take care of your safety, you can really, really, really enjoy that country. And what is one thing that made you to choose this journey of spirituality, to say, okay, I want to learn yoga, I want to learn meditation, and how does it help you? Mm-hmm. Or how did it help you?
I wasn't satisfied where I was. So I was brought up in a Christian faith, and when I moved to Canada, I also attended some church sometimes, but it like, you go there, but there's like not, and you have that seeker within you, which you later understand that it's going to be always there. You're always seeking for something, for bigger meanings, for bigger experiences. But I thought I have to satisfy it somehow, and the church didn't satisfy it anymore, and it had a lot of boxes that I didn't fit in. I didn't want to live my life like, I tried, but I never succeeded. And I wanted to succeed, you know, I wanted to be happy with myself. So, and especially Vancouver, it was a place where people are doing yoga. There were some friends I met, they were going to Buddhist temples. So then there were like plenty of options, some Hindu. And for me, it always like, as you would probably understand, coming from Latvia, it's like, ooh, that's weird.
Mm-hmm.
That's like so weird. Like, no, many gods, no, there's just one. but I became more open to that. And I became more open because you become open as like with your food experiences, with people who surround you, because it's all like so multicultural. I was teaching English there. And sometimes in my classroom, I would have 12 different nationalities. So there's nothing else to do, how just to become open to like, there are different languages, different faith, different cultural perceptions, everything. So I became more open, and I understood the container that I had chosen, it doesn't satisfy, I won't succeed there. And I just started becoming more open. And then the next thing, I was in Vietnam, and Vietnam, they don't know what church is and what God is. And I'm like, wait a second. And I remember telling this to my mother, and she's like, no, it can't be true. And I'm like, no, because I had heard there is a big cathedral in Hanoi, in the capital city. And I asked some of the people, and they're like, what, a church? What is a church? And I was like, how, like, coming from Europe, I'm like, how can you not know what a church is? But then, like, do you know what is an ancestral shrine in your house? And then you, like, put the food on there so the ancient spirits come and bless it, and then you eat it? Like, no, of course I didn't know about that before. So it became, like, this travel became, like, I was telling also in my book, it's like, kind of you visit the outer world, but the experience is always within. You know, you're like, okay, this box doesn't satisfy. Then you go, then you see like, wow, there's, these people are thinking totally differently. They have their own box as well, but it's like, wow, okay. So what is that that I'm really seeking as well? You know, like you start questioning yourself a lot, like really a lot. I called it at that time unlearning.
You were unlearning to have this perception of one God, church, and the one right thing, to learn new ways of thinking about spirituality. And how is it now? How would you describe yourself now?
In a spiritual way?
Yes.
Very, very open. I'm super curious. When we just met, I was saying that yesterday at 4 a.m. it was in a Prague central station, and that actually I was posting on my Instagram, was like trying not to judge. I didn't actually judge. I was just like, I was sitting there and watching people. People are interesting, but like not interesting in even a bad way, but I was just watching like, wow, this guy's like barefoot with his nose, I don't know, broken or something, but there's blood on it, and he's singing, and I'm like, this is hilarious, you know. Then this guy runs in and he's like, someone just robbed me, where's police? And like nobody's helping him, and I'm just like, I'm looking, and I was like, this is like such an experience, you know. And I'm just more like this in a very, very, I think the last year it has become, you know, even in self-development, they're always like, so what's the next thing? Where do you see yourself in 3 years, in five, and seven? I'm just like, fuck off. I'm happy here and now. I'm like, and it has this scary idea of like, but if I'm so content, maybe I'm not going to move anywhere else. You know, maybe I'm in that comfort zone, but I'm like, Monta, for real, like, what does your soul want? I'm like, oh, I was asking about that yesterday in Prague. I'm like, what does my soul want? I've seen the like 5 hours in Prague walking around. I'm like, been there, done that. You know, I'm like, okay, but what is the next level? What does my soul want? I'm like, okay, my soul would like want to create something. You know, and then I'm like, what would I like to create? And then, you know, you come with a podcast and like, here we go. You know, like there is the creation mode of we can create this, you know, and this happens with people. Like you create mostly together with others, you know, that's co-creation.
When you let this to come to you, when you're not too busy of or making yourself too busy to think, okay, I'm bored here. What should I do? What should I do? My mantra for a few months earlier this year was, I don't know who I am. I don't know who I am. Of course, what do I know? I don't know who I am. And then you are just feeling so miserable because, well, you don't know who you are. And when you change just one conversation that you have with yourself, and then you're looking like, okay, I'm a student, I'm ready to learn, and teachers start to appear.
Yes.
Teachers in different kind of ways that they are coming to you. And it's then, wow, just 9-10 months later, today I was going in the tram and I was like, my heart was so happy. Then this Latvian mindset, don't be too happy. Something can happen. You still haven't even met her. What if, you know, all this. And I'm like, okay, fuck off.
Yeah.
Everything is fine. But this is what I wanted to say, is just short period of time. When you are committed, when you are determined, you can do so many things. And I don't remember, was it in a podcast or I read somewhere that you said, just in 1 year you can change so much if you really put the work on it.
Yeah.
Not just dreaming, I want to, but you really have to start doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And on doing, I'd like to talk a little bit about your book, Become Human Again. How did you come from that idea to write a book, to actually writing a book? And how did you get to Bob Proctor?
Okay. I'm prepared for this because someone asked me this already on the Mind Valley Berlin. And I was telling, and I realized that I felt so happy about telling that. It was at the dinner and I was like, I don't feel even hungry because I'm so excited about telling this because someone asked me about the book. I was meditating. And Saturday mornings, my favorite thing is to read a book and not to pick up your phone or, you know, get on Instagram or something. And especially in a world like today, when you're so busy with being busy, I was like, but if I only post on Instagram, this is how, not telling, but this is inviting people to spend Saturday mornings on Instagram. I was meditating and it's like, I should write a book. So people on a Saturday morning could pick up a book, read a chapter, and go live their day. But this, you know, the the outer description of some country and my inner journey will bring them some idea that you take and you live throughout the day and change. Maybe something in your day changes because you read the chapter. So I was like, okay, brave idea. good job, Monta. Like, well done. And I was like, okay, so how to write a book? So you start, if you are in a good mood, you start asking the right questions, like, how do I write the book? You know, because if you're in a bad mood, and at that point I had already worked a lot with my mindset, I was like, okay, if there's an idea, let's ponder on that a little bit and see, you know, like how you make it happen into reality. And so I was like, well, I had that idea time ago. Gabby Bernstein, she's a super author of so many bestsellers and everything. And I love that she said she channeled books. So she would basically, you know, sit in a meditation, afterwards start writing, and the words would just come. Mm-hmm. And I was like, if I ever write a book, then that would be like a channeled book. And I didn't understand what that means, but it sounded cool. You know, not like choosing what to write, but like someone sending you thoughts. So it's like, yeah, one work, you know, list. But I was thinking like, okay, like that would be great. Next day there this email arrives that Gabby Bernstein for the first time is doing this bestseller masterclass or a course. So like, okay, cool, like idea, here's like, she's coming with an offer, like, here I will teach you how to write a bestseller book or write a book. And I was like, okay, too expensive anyways, but they offer a scholarship. I was like, yeah, I could sign up for a scholarship because it's so impossible to get it. So probably, so I don't get it, so I don't have to write, right?
Any excuse you can find, you do.
Amazing.
Right?
Like, and especially Gabby Bernstein, she has so many followers. Like, imagine how many applications that will get. So I apply for this. And now I'm like, I have applied, you know, like I've done my part. Let's move on with the life. And they email me back. They're like, hey, like we can't offer a full scholarship, but we can afford like 50% off. And that was super affordable. And I had thought in my mind, like, okay, I think it was over €1,000. But I was like, if it's 500, I would do it. You know, like, again, the thought, like, this is too expensive. If it was cheaper, I would totally do it. So, excuse. And they offer for the price that I thought, you know, like something over 500. And I was like, shit, I have to
I'm
do this.
I'm asking for it, I'm getting it. I'm asking for it, I'm getting it.
Like, too bad. Like, I didn't have that, you know, like the zero. Like, yeah, if it was for free, I would do it. No. So I was like, okay, I mean, everything is on the, like, I'm moving towards that. And I, even if it's scary, even if it's something, but it moves in the right direction and it's light and it's like, it's good. I have learned you should follow that. So I follow up with the course and then, you know, there were different exercises, what to do, gather your stories. And I started writing, and it was, you know, in a way channeled, because I would usually go for morning runs, then sit down in my meditation, and in somewhere in between, either in a run or somewhere, I would have the idea what I want to write, what idea I want to convey, because I wanted every chapter to be a transformational chapter. And so I would do a voice messages to myself. Then later is like voice to text, Google, so easy. And you know, I had the chapters and everything, and next thing I wished for someone really great to give a reference to my book, like to give a review. And there's this email again comes that Bob Proctor with his team is organizing this new seminar, and they have like a 3-day something free webinar things, and I saw the teachers are really great, and I was like, okay, I'll participate Friday evening. I come in the webinar a little bit late because of the time zones, I think, or something, and there's Bob Proctor, and they have the question series as well. And I had written, like, I think they asked, like, if you have a question, just write it down before. And I know that when you're on a camera, if you're worried and if you don't have your question written down, it's very difficult to speak. Mm-hmm. Like, you're like...
With Bob Proctor, like...
Yeah, but with like, you know, like, we have a conversation, it's much easier. But when someone is, like, full attention like this, and you know you have you have 30 seconds, basically. And then you have to be, like, so, like, okay, I got my shit together. And so I had written down the question, what is the... how can I make my first book to become a successful book or a success? Something like that. And they were like about to close the session, and then like, okay, one more question, and then okay, Monta, you. I'm like, oh my gosh, I had so many excuses, because you know, like, you can write a book, but you can also, like, you cannot finish it, right? Mm-hmm. So like you're like, okay, I'm like doing this. And he was so straightforward. He's like, okay, what's the name of the book? When are you going to release it? Do you have something in English written down where we can check it? And I was like a gun, like ding, ding, ding. I had the questions.
You were like so self-confident. I was like, wow. Did she prepare for it? Did she know he's going to ask? How?
Didn't you see my underlip like maybe? Oh.
No.
Good.
It was like, yes, Bob. I need it.
But when you, okay, if you learn, that's fake it till you make it, but in 30 seconds. Like there's, I was, you know, like my underlip was shaking. I was sweating. You don't see that on camera. And even like if it was face to face, you wouldn't see it. But that's a good thing about us humans. We do have these a lot of emotions, but we can, I really wanted that. But I'm not, if I'm going to cry there, it's not going to work. Mm. So you have to see, that's Bob Proctor. He's asking questions. If you, like, you have to be confident if you want something. Come on.
That's your one in a lifetime opportunity.
Well, especially now when he has passed. Yeah. That was truly, because I'm like, whoa. And he, yeah, then, and I didn't expect for the review. I just wanted to ask a question as well. You see, like, this is also some part of manifestation. I didn't put myself like, hi, Bob, would you review my book? I'm like, no, I had the question because I truly wanted, that was my heart's desire. I truly wanted, like, how can that be a successful book? And yeah, and he was like, okay, I'll review your book. I'm like, Jesus, mamma mia, like, what the hell, no? And I'm like, where is he gonna read it? I don't have anything. I just have, like, my notes and, like, on my Word document. I'm like, Bob is not gonna read a freaking Word document, you know? So I built a website overnight.
Okay.
So, you know, like when he comes in to read, there are chapters, it's beautiful, it's nicely presented. And I asked all of my friends who were native speakers, I was like, can you just please like check my chapter so it doesn't have any mistakes? Because I hadn't done any proofreading. Like, you know, you do the proofreading afterwards mm-hmm. when the whole book is done. And I was, oh, but also I was super excited. So you don't need to sleep when you like, someone might think like, oh, build the website overnight. Like, no, believe me, like you can do magical things when something like that is happening. So yeah. So that's from there to there.
So your stars, all stars were aligning for you to finish that book. You did it. And it's still available in English. Do you plan to also translate it to Latvian?
It's translated in Latvian, but it's in a PDF. So it's online, like a digital book. Yeah. English one is, you know, the first baby, the original one.
And this was so cute to see also how you got it to your car. And then went to Vermansdars.
Yes.
And like, okay, my friends, come here. I'm here, buy the flowers if you want to come and celebrate.
It wasn't the intention, but I was thinking of a beautiful place. So those who don't know, it was during COVID and we were not allowed to meet, or like, there was a 2-meter distance. And so, of course, there's not going to be any book promotion tour or anything, which I think I would be too scared to do that anyways. Because when you self-publish, I don't think you feel that confident. You're like, you know, the journey from idea to like, printing it, it's so scary that when you have it there and it's like, okay, but if nobody buys it, that all the time that comes into your mind. So it was a perfect thing. Like I went to Riga just to get the books, you know, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna be at 2:30 there. And I was thinking, like, where's a beautiful parking spot that I could just be at? And the Vermansdars with the flower little kiosk thingies, it was the best. I was like, that's quite nice. And then someone was like, oh, you made it on purpose so we come with flowers. I'm like, no, flowers are there already. But it was nice. And I was showing this picture also to someone in Berlin Main Valley, and they were like, oh wow. And there's a story also behind that, which is like, actually, that's cool.
That is a cool story.
Yeah.
And if somebody's thinking to write a book mm-hmm. and they maybe have these fears, one advice you can give them, and also, does it pay off? Mm-hmm. To write a book.
Mm-hmm. You have to think of what you, when I was now also saying, like, the question that I asked Bob, like, my book to become a success, what I was just now, I was like, I wonder what success for me was at that time. Mm. You know, you have to see what you really want to get out of that. I got out of that a tremendous growth for myself. Nothing any other course or anything would have given me, because I had always, like you mentioned, I've traveled 50 plus countries in the past years. It will be multiple countries in 1 year, being there, doesn't matter, everywhere. I had never really looked at my life like backwards and not to be like, wow, those old good days, but how much have I achieved? What have I done? How much I have grown? Just to like sit down with yourself and really appreciate yourself. And the book writing process, going through those stories and thinking of how I can tell that story in a way that it transforms someone, and also like how it transformed me, but it put it in, down in words, because we feel transformation. Like, you don't tell yourself transformation, right? And how to put down that in words was like, wow, for yourself. Like, for me, it was, I think, the best therapy. So when I suggest, and it depends on the person, I'm always saying it's a very good self-therapy. If you feel dissatisfied with your life, it's a good way. And I'm talking about writing a book that about your life. Like about your life stories, about your experiences, about something that you're passionate about. It makes you really appreciate things. It's like the deep gratitude journey that I think was missing piece of all my growth, because I was so into me in 3 years, perfect version of myself in the future, me in, you know, like my perfect day or something. But it was all like future related. And then I had never looked at my foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was a journey.
Yeah.
And what is one thing that you appreciate about yourself the most?
Now or then?
Now.
Now? That I can get my thoughts together if I want to and get what I want. You know, because this morning as well, I was staying in another place and I was like, but for a podcast, I want to record a video. I want a nicer, like, it didn't have lighting. It was a little bit darker room and that didn't have two chairs. And I was like, I want something a little bit nicer. So I was at the breakfast just checking. I'm like, here. Okay, nearby is a hotel and I can check out. And I was like, maybe they have a room that I can check in early. And then I was like, when I was done and I arrived in Zoe, I was like, I'm so proud of myself. I can just get things done if I want to.
This journey of transforming yourself consciously or unconsciously, maybe it started unconsciously and then it became a conscious job, and now you're teaching other people to be more self-confident, either through your podcast, just listening to your podcast, you can through pass so many messages that can stay, and then you can start working on yourself.
Next time we'll jump right into an online business creation or not. What does a manifestation teacher do? And what did they miss at The Secret? Well, you know, I read that book, but why doesn't it work for me? Stay tuned, cool listener. And if you enjoy this podcast and you would like to hear more, please subscribe wherever you like to listen to podcasts. And I see you next episode.